Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
John Canzano. Raw. Sourced. Fresh. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, built by high-caliber millwrights, this is The Bald-Faced Truth.
Our next guest did a hell of a job this season. I'm not going to say this is a victory lap, but it's kind of a victory lap. Kelly Graves, Oregon women's basketball coach, they made the Final Four. They played Baylor down to about the last 90 seconds. And I wrote this. I saw them leave the arena on Friday night. I love this about this team. They walked out of the arena together. It wasn't a splintered, scattered mess of players going this way, that way, parents, hangers-on. They walked pretty much together. Kelly Graves didn't see me. I was off to the side. I was writing, because I don't like to go in the media room. I was writing in this little area off to the side of the arena. They walked right past me. He's talking to the security guard who's escorting them out, but his team's all with him. What are you saying to the security guard in that moment?
Keep me away from Canzano, or vice versa.
I love it.
If anybody looks like me, keep moving. No, I don't know. I think, you know, I try to thank everybody that helps, you know, and sometimes those security guys, you know, they're with me the whole time. I've never understood why, you know, we get kind of that escort when we're inside the arena, you know.
Yeah.
Because I don't know who's going to come up and bother us. And those security people are never as big as me. I think I'm the one that's going to have to take care of them.
But yeah, you were having this cordial conversation that looked like, you know, I thought, you know what? But I noticed in front of you, your team walked out together. They were very much united, even in a defeat.
That was, very perceptive of you. And that's true. That's the way they've been the whole year, John. It's been a real special group. They've been very connected, probably more so than any team I've coached. And so that doesn't surprise me. I also read your take on Sabrina being part of that group, and I think you were spot on there.
When did you know? Because in the post game you said something that jumped out at me. You know, she was asked, "Have you thought about this?" She said, "No, she didn't want to talk about it right there. Wasn't the right time." But you said later, we've got a ton of people coming back. We're loaded next year. And I thought, she's coming back, because you don't say that. Did you know at that point that she was back?
Well, I was always hopeful. No, I didn't know until that next day when she called me, you know, before the deadline, which, by the way, is so silly that they have the draft so early.
Yeah.
You're giving a young lady 24 hours from the final buzzer of her last game, if it's within 10 days of the draft. Can we move the draft back a little bit?
Yes.
Training camps don't even open until May. So I think that's kind of ridiculous, that timeline. But that's when I knew. I was certainly hopeful, John, and I think all signs led to, you know, to her coming back. Every time, you know, she talked, it was in the future tense, you know, like, yeah, when I'm here. And you know, she did all her paperwork to get accepted into graduate school. So she had laid the groundwork, I think, for, you know, for coming back. But, you know, that's you just never know until you know. And then it leaked out there. After I knew she was coming back, then I read on Twitter, you know, it started circulating that she is going pro. And the guy who kind of started that, he's a friend, and I texted him. I said, "You may want to rethink your tweet." I didn't tell him for sure what she had told me, but I said, "Hey, you want to rethink this?"
Yeah, I saw that too, and then I saw, you know, minutes later, you know, I went to her timeline because I was like, "Hold on," and I saw her tweet out that she's coming back, and I thought, "Well, this is a team that could get back to the Final Four. I think you've got some pieces there that you know you can trust and you know are going to develop." What did you think of the national title game? Because I know you watched it. in the wake? Because I know a lot of coaches, they don't want to watch it after they've been eliminated, but you watched it. Why'd you watch?
Honestly, I'm one of the ones that don't really ever watch it. There was not much else on, and I didn't have anything else going. So, I thought it played really well. I was just kind of curious as to see how it would go. I thought Baylor was the best team after watching those two semifinal games. Proved to be so. I think anytime you lose close to what is ultimately eventually the national champion, I think you just kind of think, gosh, what if? What if we'd have done this? What if we would have made this basket? What if that foul would have been called? What if we didn't screw up this defensive possession? That you almost in some ways would rather get beat by 20 or 25 than you do close, because then you second guess the things you did or didn't do, and it weighs on you, I think, a little heavier.
Kelly Graves, Oregon women's basketball coach, is with us. I feel like teams that win championships, often they have to kind of sniff around it first. You get to a Final Four, you know what it's like to play on that stage. A year ago, you got to the Elite Eight, and it was disappointing there. Is there logic in that? Did your team learn something in this experience?
I sure hope so. And I think they did. I've already seen a determination. I've talked to a couple of them since, and I think they're hungry to get back. They're treated like rock stars back there, John. It's crazy. And once you're there now, I think they're going to be really hungry to get back. And especially one in particular, Sabrina Ionescu. I think she is chomping at the bit to get this thing going again, and maybe prove that we're going to be the best team this next time.
Satu Sabali was in foul trouble, and she had a handful there with Baylor's Twin Towers. I noticed in the post game she was a little emotional. You leaned over and kind of patted her on the back. Was she taking it hard at that point?
Well, I think so. I think she was kind of maybe mad at herself for getting into foul trouble and not being able to really impact the game like she could have. Sometimes the early fouls, even though you end up playing, she ended up playing 20, 21 minutes, which is obviously not enough. Then you become a little bit tentative. It just kind of throws you off your game. And so I don't think she really was ever, at her best during that game. I'm glad that they took it hard. I think we all did. And that is a sign of maturity. And I think a sign that these kids are hungry and believe in themselves. And I wouldn't be surprised if this team gets back to another Final Four this next year.
I was listening to the post-game news conference, and Baylor was talking about the play they ran against Notre Dame to get to get a basket at a key time. They said it was the same thing we did against Oregon. I was trying to find film because I feel like the defender in their case kind of reacted the same way that your defender did. What happened on that play?
Well, it's just a little rub cut off the pinch post there. They hit the post at the elbow, and then basically it's a sprint by Chloe Jackson by, and we worked on it. We worked on it for 3 days. I told you in my text, and we had defended it well that game. But then down the stretch, they we just messed up a little bit. We didn't help the way we should have, and we just kind of got hung up on that rub cut, and she scored. And like you said, the same thing they did against Notre Dame. So, you can work on it, but you still got to execute, when that time arises. And we didn't. That wasn't the only play. I thought we had some good looks down the stretch. And, we didn't have one of those great shooting nights. And credit Baylor. They're the number one defensive field goal percentage team for a reason.
There are so many factors that go into a season. I mean, you got to stay healthy. You got to be playing your best basketball at the right time. How eager are you guys to get back on the court right now, like when you lose that way?
Well, they're eager mentally.
Yeah.
Physically is another story, Ken. Yeah. We got a lot of banged up kids. Taylor Chavez never was able to recover, and I think that hurt us a little bit. Maite and Sabrina had to play a lot of minutes, in the NCAA tournament. And I thought that hurt us a little bit. Ruthie is 75, 80% at best. She just didn't have any explosion And if you're going up against Lauren Cox and Kalani Brown, you got to be at your best. And it's still a tall order. And then Sabrina's just put so much into it. Her body needs the rest. So I think physically we're going to take some time off. But I think mentally they're ready. I think we've got a taste of it now. Just like we did that Elite Eight a couple years ago. They got a taste of it, and it makes them hungry to get back.
Baylor started their season. They had, this saying that they said about Tampa, getting to Tampa or whatever their motto was. How soon did you look up where the Final Four is next year?
Pretty quickly. And isn't it funny how that's what they set out to do?
Yep.
We kind of kept it on the back burner. We didn't talk about Tampa. We talked about getting better every day, and that was our goal. I'm kind of interested to see how we go about next season. It is in New Orleans, by the way.
Yep.
So I know you're pulling for us to get there because
I'll be there regardless.
That's a town made for you.
I don't know about that.
So I'm not sure. I think sometimes it just depends on your team makeup. I think if you put all your eggs in that national championship or bust basket, you can be disillusioned and really disappointed if it doesn't happen. But I think this is a team that could be very highly rated in the preseason stuff. I think we're going to have a lot of expectations and some pressure. So I don't know. I don't know how we'll play it, but I would sure hope that we get to New Orleans next year.
Kelly Graves with us, Oregon women's basketball coach. All right, before I cut you loose, I ended up on the phone with you, I think a day or two or night or two before the semifinal. And I said, I was real apologetic. I didn't want to interrupt your game planning. Like, I didn't want to be the reason why if you were working on something that you got interrupted. Were you running into that over and over where people were like, Kelly, I just need to leave you alone?
Yeah, more so than me. I like to talk to people. You know what I mean? I've always felt that I'm very approachable. That doesn't affect me. I think sometimes on game day, right before, I get really locked in and focused. But, John, I'm going to tell you one thing. I know we don't know each other super, super well, but if I get big-headed about this whole thing, right, you have my permission, and anybody else out there that knows me, you got my permission to just slap me in the head. You know what I mean? I'm the same guy, always have been, always will be. I'm blessed to be a coach here. I coach a great team, but I'm not going to change. So, man, you can bother me anytime.
Well, you're always a delight to have on the show, and I really enjoyed seeing your team compete. I got to be honest. Like, I've seen a lot of things in 25 years of doing this, and I watch teams, and I watch things like, does this team leave the arena together, or is it, are there a bunch of hangers on and they're all scattered and they're you guys walked out like, I think within about 15 yards of each other there, you guys walked out as a team. And I think that says a lot about the culture you've created.
Well, thank you. And it is, it's genuine. And when we talk family, it's real. Some things you just can't fake, Don. You just can't fake. And that's certainly, one of our characteristics. And I appreciate that you notice that and see that. I see it every day. And I'm sure some people out there think, oh, yeah, everybody says we're a family. But I think that has really been the case with this group.
Do you now take a week off, or do you recruiting time, or what do you do now? Do you get a chance to decompress?
No. Because it's off to recruit, What is cool is I get to fly to L.A. On Thursday and take part of that Wooden Award. Sabrina's up for that award. Hopefully she gets that. It was pretty cool. Hey, you know what? It was really cool to see her win the Wade Award. And our entire team was there to share in that moment with her. And I thought that was really pretty special. So there's a little bit of that. And, here in a week or two, we start rolling in some big dogs. Recruiting.
So, all right.
We always have an eye forward. That's kind of the nature of the game.
Will you change the kind of player that you've recruited to get here to this point? Because I see that happen sometimes.
No. And it's been incredible as we've gotten better. That the doors that have been open to us recruiting wise has been incredible. I don't think this this program's going anywhere, buddy. But no, we have a certain standard, and we're going to stick with that. It's worked, and you know, yeah, we're not going to change.
Kelly Graves, don't change.
You got it.
All right, thank you.
I'm not a one-trick pony. I actually know other sports, so if you ever got a slow day.
Oh, we're not going away. We're not going away. We're going to bring you back on to talk Halloween. We're going to bring you back on to talk what's Kelly Graves' movie recommendation right now. You know, Airport.
Well, I don't think that's going to get much listenership.
Does Kelly Graves have an airport?
What's my favorite movie? I'll tell you, my favorite sports movie. You'll never guess.
Bull Durham.
It's not basketball. Top 10, no doubt. Slapshot, my favorite ever.
Love that. Are you a hockey?
Rewatch that again. Go home and rewatch that.
Are you a hockey guy, or was that you just liked the movie?
Hockey is one of my favorite sports. In fact, it is my favorite sport to watch in person. Had a chance to go to a couple San Jose Shark games.
Yeah.
The speed with which they play, the intensity in the building is incredible. I love it.
I got a Reggie.
Fun sport.
All right, here's Reggie Dunlop. I got this in my vault.
I want to win that championship tonight, but I want to win it clean. Old-time hockey. Like when I got started, you know? Geez, Toad Blake, Dick Clapper, Eddie Shore, those guys were the greats. I don't know what to say. Bryce, it's up to you.
Would Paul Newman, would you like someone like Paul Newman to play you in the movie, if there's a movie about you someday?
He's a little old now, but I would go. I mean, Brad Pitt and I resemble each other the most.
Yeah.
But I like Chris Pratt. I think he would do a pretty good job there.
All right, Chris Pratt as Kelly Graves when they make the movie. All right, we'll stay in touch. Thanks, Coach. I appreciate you.
Okay, buddy. Thanks, John.
There Bye-bye. He is, the Oregon Ducks women's basketball coach. I got to be honest. Between he and Scott Ruick, we are spoiled in this state. Oregon's going to be really good next year. They lose two seniors. They will reload. They'll bring back the same core of that team. They'll be the preseason number one or number two team in the country. You could bank it. Oregon State. Everybody's telling me Oregon State's going to be better than they were last season. And they were a team that got to the Sweet 16 and rattled around a little bit in the tournament. Scott Ruick knows how to coach. Kelly Graves knows how to coach. We are spoiled in this state. Coming up, our 2 at 2, and what were they thinking, along with who got smoked, and the golf report. We are loaded up. How will I do this? Stick around and find out. You know what we haven't dealt with on today's show? Alabama Adriana's disappointment at Auburn. What happened at the end of the Auburn-Virginia game? What happened there?
I didn't get to see the whole end of the game, but I was very disappointed.
Yeah, it was tough because I think they played Auburn played really well in this tournament, exceeded expectations, but I think they blew that final possession for sure.
Wasn't it something, though, that they wouldn't have... It wouldn't have ended that way if the other team hadn't traveled or something?
That's it was a double dribble. You didn't watch that? I mean,
I was out.
What were you doing?
I was at a birthday party.
They didn't have it on?
No, they literally had other, baseball games on and stuff, but they didn't have that game on.
Wow. Why, this is a normal person? This wasn't, a child's birthday party?
She was turning 18, so technically no, but...
Wow. And they didn't have any interest in this Final Four.
No, but I was following it on my phone, though, so...
Wow. Well, you should be walking around. If you're a typical Auburn fan right now, you should be walking around bitching about the double dribble. Everybody else is going, hey, you got to make plays at the end of the game. That's a tough call for the official. Peter, what'd you think? Because the official says he wasn't sure if the ball was touched by the Auburn defender or the guy's leg. He couldn't see it, so he can't really... stop that.
Yeah, I mean, they got it wrong, but you can't really put so much blame on them for it. It's such a difficult call. With the benefit of replay, we can see it, but...
Yeah, in slow motion, we're all pretty good officiating. Let's go to James in Canby, who has called in. James, what's up?
I would like to say that hands-on Portland and the volunteers that continue to volunteer in Portland, Oregon, will not be dissuaded or dismayed by hearing about, you know, getting bad remarks from parents and stuff. We're going to continue to volunteer in every capacity we can. Secondly, I would like to say that with the Coach K and the Zion Williamson,
yeah.
You know, most of us here who've been, you know, I'm in my 50s now, and most of us who've been watching sports a long time, we're hoping these players are getting paid one way or another by now. And the NCAA will continue to turn the other cheek unless something's happening that they didn't either know about, or it's a money thing. Now, I don't want to get negative, and I'll stay positive on this. The third thing is, I would just like one time for Coach K played point guard under Bobby Knight at West Point. Did you happen to notice how he didn't even look himself this year? He didn't have a team to coach. He had 1 year, one and done. It was like, it's beyond him now. I would like to see him go back to Holy Cross or an Ivy League school or even an Alabama A&M.
He's never leaving Duke, okay? He's never leaving Duke. But I get what you're saying. I think he more so than others, protected by the NCAA. And I started today's show by talking about Michael Avenatti and the allegations on Twitter about Nike, Zion Williamson, Bol Bol, and how messy it is, and how, you know, I've stayed mostly quiet to this point because I don't know what to do with it. But if you're Duke, if you're Oregon, if you're somebody involved, you have to do your own diligence, and you have to make sure, damn sure, that the players are not arriving to you paid or compensated in some fashion. Simultaneously, I think there's a lot of public empathy for the players, and a lot of people going, well, so what if they get paid? Good on them if they're getting paid. So I kind of think that the NCAA is not going to know what to do with this, but I think the perception of it is going to be, well, they're not interested because it's Duke. I just think the NCAA is going to look at it and go, this is not something we want to touch right now. How do we get rid of the one and dones? And the way you get rid of the one and dones is you get the NBA to remove that age limit. Then the one and dones will just go to the NBA, and suddenly you got your college basketball mostly back. Or at least you get a reprieve. Mark is in Portland, wants to talk about Auburn. Mark, what's up, man?
Hey, not a lot. How you doing? Hey, I'm curious if you've talked about at all with 13 seconds to go in that game, when you're up by 3 points, why extend the game by fouling?
Yeah.
I love the clock management talk. I think the biggest mistake was that when they were fouling at the end of the game, it extended the game, and crazy stuff can happen when you extend the game. If you're up by 3, the worst case scenario for you is you're going to be going into overtime.
Yeah, and I think I thought Kenny Smith made a really good point. Did you see Kenny's point about how, you know, Auburn was fouling and fouling? They kind of got it in the officials' heads.
Yeah.
You got it in the officials' heads, like, hey, watch, because they might foul here.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
People have been comparing the what happened to New Orleans, and there's probably 85% of refs would have missed that call for exactly what you're saying, because they're focusing on Auburn fouling. I mean, we're human. We're not robots. Nobody saw that double dribble in time. They kind of figured it out afterwards.
Nobody saw it. The announcers didn't. I was watching it. I didn't see it.
We all saw the New Orleans. Yeah. And the other thing on Michael Avenatti, from a prosecution standpoint, you need something other than that guy. I mean, he's raping women with Kavanaugh. I mean, everything he's 95% of what he's an extortionist, for one. So you need evidence. So your biggest, it's nice to see that you're not doing what a lot of people do because of Twitter and Facebook. They jump to conclusions.
I think you gotta wait. Like, you know, like we did with Canseco, you gotta wait and you gotta go, okay, this is interesting. Like, Avenatti's got some documents, but I keep coming at it from the standpoint of a journalist too, that it's one thing if you can prove that a player's handlers or a player's parent accepted some money from a middleman. It's a whole nother thing to allege that Nike directed that payment to that player, because I think you're going to have a really difficult time proving that Nike
told some middleman that has become, you know, disenfranchised from their elite youth basketball league operation to make that transaction. Nike's going to say, we didn't control that person. Because that's the missing piece in this Avenatti thing is, you know, he's alleging that Nike did this. I don't yet see that connection proven. And by the way, to Mark's point, I need to hear some of this, not from Avenatti, but from prosecutors, from other parties who have been involved. And I'd love to hear Bol Bol and Zion Williamson go public with a statement saying, hey, I didn't take any money. I don't know what this is about. I don't know why this guy's doing it. Because see, that's the hinky part of this. Like, if you're Bol Bol, or you're Zion Williamson, and this is the only part of it that I go, all right, hold on, we got to pay attention to Avenatti. Wouldn't you at some point here come out and go on Twitter with a statement, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't jeopardize my eligibility. This guy, you know, because that's the part I think where the mass of people who are undecided and looking at Avenatti going, this guy's not credible. That's the point where we all kind of stay frozen going, let's just wait and see what happens. The 2 at 2 is coming up. But first, in this next segment, I want you to tell me who got smoked. It's something we do every Monday, and the winner's going to Reverend's Barbecue. You got the bald-faced truth. The phone number's 503-417-7575. Tell me who got smoked.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the bald-faced truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.